Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 9 tonight. Acts chapter 9. And we want to look at I'm going to read this entire section here, first these 19 verses. Let's read them from the King James Bible. And then, of course, those of you that know me know that I tend to take the these and thous out if they're there. So you can't buy this version anywhere in a bookstore. Okay. But verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." He's talking about this way, the Christians. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Or why are you persecuting me? "And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or the stones. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. And the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which are at Damascus. Now many folks know this story and this account of Saul's conversion and his Jesus and his, as what many call the Damascus Road experience of Saul as Jesus, as he was going to persecute. You know, Saul was called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was going to persecute Christians in Damascus everywhere because he was so zealous for the Lord. He felt that they were misrepresenting God, and he just couldn't stand that. And so he was going out about, and he had in that day, they had the right to bring people in and put them in jail. And he was going to do that. Arrest men. It says men and women. Didn't matter who they were. He was going to bring them, put them in chains, bring them to Jerusalem. Okay. And so Jesus appears to him on that road. But I don't want to talk about Saul tonight. I want to talk about Ananias. Because most of us are not going to be Saul and become the Apostle Paul. Most of us are going to be Ananias. And I told you at the beginning of the first year, the Lord has been dealing with me about this year as my time that I have in Rhema Bible Church in the pulpit. Such an honor, you know, for Pastor Hagen to allow us this opportunity, was to spend time talking about. Mrs. Hagen said early in the year that this is a year for everyone to get involved. So to spend time talking about us as church members, as Christians, being involved in the different things the Word of God has to say about that. I know several years ago I had a minister ask me a question. He said the Lord had been dealing with him about it. And the Lord said to him, would you be a good Christian if you weren't in the ministry? And you wonder sometimes, you know, would you come to church if you weren't supposed to preach? You know, amen. Would you be involved? Would you just, you know, as the, you know, if you saw that video this morning of the different folks running on the treadmill, working in the nurse, doing all the different things, and then the one on the rollerblades on the treadmill. Now, there's times, listen, I mean, there's times all of us need to sit and be fed the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
But here, let's talk about Ananias a bit here. Let's talk about some things concerning him. We have no indication anywhere in the Word of God that this man was anything other than a disciple. Look at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple. Disciple, you know, sometimes we think, I grew up, we didn't call the 12 apostles. We called them the 12 disciples in the church I grew up in. So to me, a disciple, if you just look at it from that standpoint, was one of the 12, you know, that Jesus. But a disciple just means a learner, someone who is learning. And, you know, Matthew 28, Jesus said, go into all the world. And the one says, teach all nations. But actually, in the original language, it says, make disciples of all nations. The word disciple is used over 250 times in the New Testament. And it's a very, very common thing because everybody in the body of Christ is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, he said, he was just a certain disciple from Damascus. His name was Ananias. Interesting, we'll say this about his name. In one source I saw, it said that his name means, in fact, let me pull that up here. I can tell you what Robertson's Word Pictures says. Ananias means Jehovah is gracious. I like that. You think about that. God chose a man whose name has to do with grace to go lay hands on the apostle of grace. Amen. But this man was just a disciple like you and I, just like anybody else in that sense. And God used him. God talked to him. The Lord spoke to him. He had a vision. God met with him supernaturally. I don't know where somehow over the course of time we've gotten the idea that the only thing that happens supernaturally happens to those who are in the ministry. Well, I know Brother Hagin, now he wrote that book, I Believe in Vision. He had 8 visions. I know, boy, but he was a prophet of God. Ananias was just a disciple. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision. Now, we do know when you have something like that that's supernatural, it helps you when doubt and unbelief starts coming in. And Ananias questioned God. But when you have that supernatural experience, it does help. But here again, just a certain disciple. Now, I want to read this starting in verse 10 out of the Message Bible, if you let me. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Let's read on down here through verse 19. There was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The master spoke to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, master, he answered. Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. He has just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him so that he could see again. Now, let's stop here for just a moment. I want you to notice here that two people's hearts are being prepared to do something here. Not just Saul, but Ananias also. God's preparing his heart. Ananias and Saul. Interesting. That in the very next chapter, chapter 10, we've got two people being prepared. We've got Cornelius and Peter. Peter and Ananias both question God. Ananias is going to say, now wait a minute, God. I've heard about this guy. He's not a nice guy. Peter's question, wait a minute, I can't go fellowship with the Gentiles. But you had Cornelius and Saul both praying and going to God. And so God, notice that God's preparing other people. That's something that's so important for us to remember. We could be praying, we're believing God, we're confessing the right thing. Boy, we've done everything we know to do, having done all to stand. But God's got to prepare somebody else. Now, could God have done everything that he did here with Saul without Ananias? He could have, but he didn't choose to. Could God have gotten to Cornelius in chapter 10 there without Peter? He could have, but he didn't choose to. All right, let's keep reading here. Verse 13, Ananias protested, "Master, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing, his reign of terror against the people in Jerusalem. And now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priests that give him license to do the same to us." But the master said, "Don't argue. Go. I have picked him as my personal representative to the Gentiles and kings and Jews." You know, how many of you ever argued with God before when he told you to do something? You know, here this last term in school, I've been teaching on keys to supernatural ministry. And one of the things that, that we need to all learn to do is to train ourselves. Brother Hagin called it training the human spirit. But in reality, it's training our soul and our body to cooperate with our spirit. But one of the keys there is to instantly obey the leading of the Lord. Instantly obey. Not here, you know, Ananias, Peter did the same thing. He said, "Whoa, wait a minute here, God." But God, what did God say? "Don't argue. Go." Amen. Let me say that again. Don't argue. Go. I'll repeat it again for some of you, because some of you have been arguing. Don't argue. Go. I don't know what God's told you to do, but quit arguing with him about it. Well, it just doesn't make sense. You think it made sense for Ananias to go down there to Saul's house? Here, this guy's carrying legal documents with him to arrest people just like Ananias. Did it make any sense? No, but God said, go. Amen. The leading of God doesn't always make sense naturally. You can't always make it work out on paper. Amen. And really the hindrance that Ananias had here was his prior knowledge. The information that he had to allow what God told him to override the information that he'd already heard. Well, that's what that's called. That's called renewing our mind, right?
That's right.
But sometimes it's hard for us to obey God because of all the information we've got floating around here. But down here, something on the inside, it's just telling us, do this. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have to make sense as long as it's God. Now, I want to encourage you to begin obeying God in the small things. You know, some folks, they want to wait till it's a life-altering decision has to be made, and then they're going to start obeying God. Well, chances are you're not hearing God. If you haven't heard God in the small things, that's probably not God's voice in the... Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said something. Hold your finger here, and Rosa, help me out here, up there. Look at John chapter 14, the gospel. Unlike many of you believe, Leanne Sosby did not invent this verse I'm about to read here. Those of you who go to prayer school or that. Jesus said this. She's been copying Jesus all these years. It's a pretty good copy, isn't it? That's who we want to be. Look what it says here in John chapter 14, verse 16. We'll begin there in 17. I'm going to read from the King James again. "I will pray the Father... He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you." Now let's say it together. I know
the Holy Ghost.
Say it with me now. Together. Ready? I know the Holy Ghost. I'm not supposed to be wondering. Now you think about that. When you know somebody, all right? When, you know, before we had caller ID. Somebody call you, pick up the phone. If you knew them, you recognize their voice, right? That's one indication that you know somebody. To know the Holy Ghost means you recognize his voice. Ananias here recognized the leading of the Lord. He recognized it as the Lord. He called him Lord. It's interesting, even Saul said, "Lord, who are you?" But you see that leading there. He knew him. Well, you and I know the Holy Ghost. And we can, you know, in Romans chapter 8, it says that we are all to be led by the Spirit of God. He says, if we don't have the Spirit of God, you're not even God. You don't even belong to Him. But we know Him because we know He's in us. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me. I've encountered over the years Spirit-filled Christians that will consult certain things to find out whether or not that's the leading of the Lord or not. Now, they didn't do it, but listen, folks, you might as well get out your Ouija board if that's what you're going to do. If you're going to go to any place else but the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit, if you're going to have to go, listen, don't come to me and ask me. Now, you know, we can in the mouth of many counts, you know, there's wisdom. But again, you're not to be led by the pastoral staff. Bible didn't say that, did it? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. We're to be led by God's Spirit. Now, it may not be as supernatural as Ananias there that day with a vision, or like Peter had that vision, but yet it's still the same Holy Ghost going to lead us and going to guide us. But consulting all kinds of, you know, whether or not to make this investment based on what prophetess so-and-so says, or prophet this or that. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, now, you know, if God, I'm going to put out a fleece. Do you realize, you know, you go back there with Gideon, it's obvious Gideon, he barely knew God. He barely knew God at all. You read the whole story. He put out a fleece. God had to move on him in that natural way to get him to do what God had called him to do. We don't put out fleeces in the New Covenant. Our God speaks to us. He lives in us. Amen. Well, you know, I'm bombarding the gates of heaven. Why? They're open. The gates are open. Besides that, He's in you. I'm in Him. You're seated right there next to Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're outside trying to bombard the gates of heaven with our prayers. Hello. Praise the Lord. All right, let me get back here to the book of Acts. I'm back in the Message Bible. Let me read verse 15 again. But the master said, don't argue. Go, I have picked him as my personal representative to Gentiles and kings and Jews. And now I am about to show him what he's in for, the hard suffering that goes with this job. So Ananias went and found the house. Now, why did he go? Because God told him to go. Obedience. I don't know what the last thing God's told you to do. You see, it doesn't have to be to go to the house of Saul. It could have been go to the resource room and get thee an application. That wasn't it? No, the Lord doesn't tell you. But it could have been, right? Well, if you haven't gone yet, God's still waiting on you. Don't argue, go. All right? No matter what it is. Okay? So Ananias went and found the house and placed his hands on blind Saul and said, now notice again here, this is just a certain disciple. Notice here, he's laying his hands on somebody. You know, you don't have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to minister to someone the laying on of hands. I've had people tell me that. No, you can't lay hands on people. You're not an apostle. Well, what about Ananias? He went and laid his hands on him. And then notice what he said, brother Saul. Now, I don't know if he's calling things to be not as though they were. But something, he's convinced something's happened to Saul. And he lays hands and says, brother Saul, the master sent me. Glory to God. The same Jesus you saw on your way here, he sent me so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet, was baptized, and sat down with them to a hearty meal. Saul spent a few days getting acquainted with the Damascus disciples. Glory to God. Now, I want you to go over to Acts chapter 22. Talk a little bit more about this man. Ananias. Now, there's another Ananias mentioned in the Bible. Ananias is the one that died there in Acts chapter 5. This is a different fella here. This isn't the one that's lying to the Holy Ghost. All right, this is another Ananias. Let's pick up in verse 12. Acts 22:12. Here's the King James Version. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Now, you know, it's interesting. Now, this is now Paul, the apostle, is giving his defense here, and he's recounting. This wasn't mentioned in chapter 9 as Luke tells the story, as Luke started. But now Paul's telling the story personally. And he thinks it's important enough to point out that this Ananias was a devout man. He's a holy man. And that he's well thought of among all the people, even the Jews. Okay? He says, a report of all the Jews which dwelt there. He came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. That's important. See, that's still, he still brings that aspect up. Receive your sight. The same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, now here's some other things that we don't have in chapter 9, but here we have Paul's telling it. The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. For you shall be his witness unto all men of be his witness unto all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now let's read this again from the Message Bible here, if we would here. Let me go to I thought I had it in my history. Hang on just a second here. Acts chapter 22, beginning in verse 12. Paul says, and that's when I met Ananias, a man with a sterling reputation in observing our laws. The Jewish community in Damascus is unanimous on that score. Now he's given his defense, and he brings that out. That this man had known the Lord through his old covenant relationship with him, but evidently since Jesus had been preached to him, he's a disciple of the Lord now, of the Master. He knows, notice he called Jesus the Master. That's the same as saying Jesus the Savior. Our Lord that met you has met me and talked to me. He's a disciple. Okay? He's a learner. He's been doing the Word of God. It's so amazing. You know, now young folks today don't know much about this, but some of us drove vehicles that did not have power steering. I learned to drive an old farm truck. Things was orange and white. That old farm truck. It was, you know, every winter this became the home of many rats as it sat in the barn. So you can understand how this thing smelled every spring. You know, you boys go out there and clean that truck out. Oh. So we get in there and clean it out, you know. It was one of those trucks you could take it to the power washer and power wash the interior and not hurt it. Yeah. Come on. Amen. And so, but that old truck, it didn't have power steering. It had a steering wheel about that big, all right, a big old round one, and a knob. Now, one thing about those, you have to get that vehicle moving in order to turn it, right? And then in order to turn it, the reason you got that knob is because you got to crank that thing to get it to turn, you know, to make a right turn. You take that knob and you just, you know, because why? Because no air conditioning, your other arm's hanging out the window. If it's left, then you switch around or you might go right. But anyway, whichever hand. But, boy, you could build up some good muscles just driving that vehicle. I've noticed this with God. So I wish I was like Ananias. I wish I'd have a vision. You know, Ananias is already moving. He's already in motion. He's already doing what he knows to do. Being a disciple, having a good reputation amongst even the Jews. He said, it's unanimous. And God chooses to work through him. Amen. It's amazing to watch this, you know. I've been at this now almost, it'll be 37 years this summer. And working in a local church for many, many years and watching it, that how God does that. How people who are already moving are the ones whom seems like God's operating through. But anyway, verse 13, he came and put his arm on my shoulder. Look up, he said. I looked and found myself looking right into his eyes. I'm in the Message Bible now. And I could see again. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has handpicked you to be briefed on his plan of action. You've actually seen the righteous innocent and heard him speak. Now notice here, how does he know that? It was revealed to him by the Lord. He's had a word of knowledge. Here's the gifts of the Spirit operating through this disciple. He's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. He's not an evangelist. He's a disciple. And the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural, is operating through him. Amen. Now I want you to notice here. Now, we don't have any indication that he'd ever done anything like this again before, or that he ever did it again. Ever how the Lord chooses to use, that's fine. Amen. Let's keep reading here. He said, you are to be a key witness to everyone you meet of what you've seen and heard. So, I love this. So what are you waiting for? Now here when, remember God told Ananias, quit arguing and go. Now Ananias is telling, according to what the Apostle Paul, here he saw, but later, what Apostle Paul heard was, what are you waiting for? Get up and get yourself baptized. I love how he puts that. Scrub clean of those sins and personally acquainted with God. He adds a line there, well, it happened just as Ananias said. Now again, notice here, this is just a disciple, mightily used of God here in this situation. How many of you today are glad that Ananias obeyed God and went and ministered to Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Titus, and probably Hebrews, but that's all right if you don't believe that. It's inspired of God, so. Amen? I mean, you could say this, Paul is one of our mentors. Never met him, but boy, he has sure blessed me. He has sure ministered to me. He has sure helped me. But Paul, he would never have gotten where he was if it had not been for a certain disciple. You see, there's people. You have no idea. There's people you don't know. If the Lord tarries, who's going to reach the next Kenneth E. Hagin? Who's going to reach the next Kenneth W. Hagin? Who's going to reach the next Billy Graham? Who's going to reach that person? A certain disciple. Dwight Moody has a similar testimony about how he was reached for the Lord. Some great people that you know their name, about how they came to the Lord. It wasn't at some great evangelistic meeting. It was some person that just came in contact with him, who were led by the Lord. A certain disciple. See, the great thing about it is disciples come in contact with more people every day than pastors do. The disciples in the church. We have one pastor, Hagin. He can only come in contact with how many people today, but put all of us together. You don't know. And then you bring that over into the local, bring it over into the Rhema Bible Church setting here. We don't know that young person in JV youth, or that young person in varsity, or that young person in children's church, or that person you greeted the first time they came to church, and you put a smile on your face. They were sitting next to you and you just welcomed them. And you don't realize it, but they're when they came back, they're looking for you again, trying to figure out if you sit there again, I'm gonna sit by that person, they were friendly. And they get turned on to the things of God, and their whole family gets changed because of the message of faith and the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't know And all you were was friendly, but you were being a certain disciple. You were a certain disciple. You put on a Sunday night, you put on a red shirt, said Rhema Bible Church Usher on it. Amen. You're part of the connection team. Every time, I don't know why, but every time someone says, those folks in the aqua shirts, my ear hears those folks in the awful colored shirts. Instead of aqua color, I don't know why. They're not awful colored, because I'd like it. I'd wear, you know, my wife would tell you, look at me. I'd wear, if it's bright and loud, I'll wear it. There's certain things she's told me no. I would love to have, I'm being honest with you here. If I knew I wouldn't look like Bob the Tomato, I would love to have a really nice red suit. I'd wear the red shoes. I'd probably even get the red hat. Because I love that. I like that. But you know, I come rolling in here and they say, that's Bob the Tomato in there. Who is that? If I can ever get to look like that cucumber, I might just buy it. I'll go right over to New York Fashions. I'll buy that suit. I definitely will. Amen. I've seen people, a man just looks up and says, no. Thank God for a bossy wife. I mean, a good helpmate. She'll get me back for that later. You know, I make jokes like that and people will come up and ask, are you okay? He was mean to you. Like I've said before, you know, man and I, we're 5 years apart. You wouldn't believe she's 5 years older than me. Look at her. I mean, you wouldn't believe she, and it's not, I'm 5 years older than her. But if we've had people come up to her after services like that and say, I'm just so sorry. I'm praying for you. He's so mean to you. Amen. See, here's the thing. Every one of us in here tonight can be Ananias. Every one of us. Just be a certain disciple. God chooses to work through us that way. Okay? And we might, you know, he's living, doing what he knows to do. Living according, remember the only scriptures they had was the Old Testament scriptures at that time. He's living devoutly. He's living a holy life. I mean, it's noticed he's got a unanimous voting that this is a good guy. And when God comes to him, he obeys. He questioned, but then he obeyed when God told him to go. He went and did it. And he laid his hands. God worked him. God, he laid his hands. Think about that. You know, I don't know that anybody else in Paul's life ever laid hands on him other than this one person. Think about it. Now, we know Paul laid hands on Timothy for that gift. But nobody, only record we have is that Ananias, a certain disciple, laid hands on the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus, blind, hungry, not knowing exactly what had just happened to him. But when Ananias got through with him, he can see. He got baptized. he definitely knows that Jesus is the Lord, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And oh, by the way, he's not hungry anymore because they ate because of a certain disciple. I just want to challenge us tonight. I want to challenge us. Who's going to be the next Ananias? It could be you. Can be you. Oh, well, you don't know. No. Let God work through you. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God, in this room tonight are certain disciples. Father, I thank you for them. Thank you for sending them to Rhema Bible Church. They could be a part here of what you've called us to do as a family together. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have you come down forward, but I do want to ask this. If you just bow your head and close your eyes. I just want you just before the Lord. The prayer team, go ahead and come. You can go ahead and come on down. But I just want you before the Lord. If you would just say, I am willing, Lord, to be an Ananias. I want you to just raise your hand before the Lord right now. Just raise it up before the Lord. Amen. Lord, you see all these hands all over this congregation. I pray, Lord God, that you would move through each one, even as you did supernaturally through Ananias. For you are Jehovah, the gracious one. Thank you, Father God. Lead us, guide us, show us what we should do. And we know that when we obey you, you'll get the glory, you'll get the honor, and great shall be the results. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Brother Bill, we had some first-time guests tonight. If our connections team would find our first-time guests tonight, take them to that special place. Amen. Right here on the front row. Oh, that's awesome. Welcome. Go ahead and go with them. Amen. Let's all stand together. Now, if you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down here. The ladies to my right, the men to my left, they're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. That's where answers come from. Amen. God's Word. And they'll pray with you concerning anything tonight. Come on down as soon as we dismiss here in just a moment, and they'll be happy to pray with you. Don't forget, be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power, right here at Rhema Bible Church. Thank you all for tuning in on Rhema.tv and the Rhema app. God bless you. Thank you for being part of our e-church tonight. It's all good. Are you all good? All right. God bless you. You are dismissed.